Father. That's simply going to be the title of this particular lecture, Father. We owe him so much in as much as we have earthly fathers, yes. And they're wonderful, fantastic, and just it's great to have especially a father that will be a father. We have in this country certain people that think just because they've sired a child that makes them a father. No, punks can do that. But a real father is one that is there to the end. And I thank God for each and every one. Because why? That's the example our Father set for us. He will never leave us, nor will He ever forsake us. You can count on Him. Always. And after all, who is your real father? This is going to be a little bit unusual, a little unusual approach, but sometimes I do that. I feel led to do that. So I want you to open your Bibles to Genesis chapter 1. And as you're turning there, I'm going to read from John chapter 1, which states, "In the beginning was," meaning pre-existed in the Greek, "the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God." That's why Christ is called the living Word. The same, that is to say, He was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth not. There's no way you can ever expect darkness to comprehend light. Basically, why? It's the example. When a light comes on, the darkness vanishes. It hides. It's afraid to face up, afraid to face reality. But you're not. And we know that our Father created us, as the last verse of chapter 4 in the great book of Revelation stipulates, He created us for His pleasure. If God has ever impressed me to do any one thing in this ministry, it is to let you know that we're made in His image. He's not some great blob or force floating around somewhere. He looks like we do. Why? He's our Father. And quite frankly, He's your real Father. He's the Father of your very being, your soul. Do you know something else? He loves you, and He has proved it over and over and over again down through the years as He has led us. Sometimes we follow, sometimes people don't, to their loss. But it's never too late to look up, thank Him, love Him, and begin following Him, for He is the path and He is the way. Okay, in Genesis, what happened in Genesis? And I'm not going into the various creations. I'm simply going to take one, and that will be the first children, for God is the Father of all children, and that happens to be the subject. Chapter 1, verse 26, and it reads, "And God said, Let us make man in our image." Now, just strip everything away from that. What does it mean? It means, let's make man to look just like we look. "After our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." Now, there's one place that many people fall short here. They say, well, God gave us everything. He gave you dominion. The question is, do you utilize it? Do you express it? Do you understand that dominion comes from taking charge, from being can-do? Dominion takes from showing people that you don't only listen, that God made it possible, but that you're a doer, and you can cut it. So, Father gave it to you, it's there for you. But you have to take dominion. Don't forget that. I mean, I'm really a realist. Now, that'd work good, wouldn't it? A realist to the fact that God has emotions like we do. He looks like we do. That's what likeness means. He hurts like you do when we disappoint Him, when we do not give Him that pleasure. And quite frankly, you're not going to have any blessings flowing your way if all you do is pay no attention. I'll get around to maybe reading a scripture. Well, big deal. Whoop-a-dee-doo. You know, just read a scripture. That's all you've got. You know, can you say, how would you feel if your mate or somebody you really love came in every day and said, here, I've got a little sonnet for you. La-bee-da-bee-da, and that's it. Whoa, I really feel needed, don't I? You know, I mean, that's the way some people do. It's like kind of like the old boy that told his wife he loved her, and 50 years later they were receiving counseling, and the minister found out what was wrong and went to him and said, don't you ever tell your wife you love her? And he said, I told her that 50 years ago, and if I change my mind, she'll be the first to know. So, I mean, you know, loosen up. You've got to express yourself, communicate. That's what your Father wants as well. He, in as much as He created you for His pleasure, He wants to hear from you. Say, I love you. I appreciate you. All the things that you have made possible, Father. Now, if you don't take that dominion, if you deny that, I'm sorry, you're a nobody and will probably stay that way. It's up to you. All right? Your choice. So, we were made in His image. He is the true Father. You know, that's what happens in as much as that was an example set forth that many times children look like their fathers in His likeness or the mother's image or likeness. Okay, verse 27. So God created man in His own image. Now don't read over that. When He said our in the previous verse, that meant Elohim, God and the children, the sons of God that were in angelic bodies, and we're going to make them all look just like we do. Now, inasmuch as the Father came in the personage of the Son, Emmanuel, God with us, so did you. If you don't quite see that, put it on the shelf. But that's being born from above, and that's what born again actually reads when it's properly translated. It can be translated no other way. I make reference to John chapter 3. Okay, in His own image, in the image of God created He him, male and female created He them, naturally for His pleasure. 28, and God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth and subdue it. He said, what? Subdue it. Do you know that takes a little doing? It sure does. It doesn't matter what profession you're in, you've got to subdue. Meaning, be successful, quite frankly. Make it work for you. And have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. Boy, that's all of it. And it's too bad that some people will let some little thing going wrong say, it just ruined my day. Well, you poor baby. You know, that how God must be proud of you when you say something like that. He gave you dominion, you let a crawdad bite your toe and cry about it. You should be smarter than that, okay? You know, or they don't really hurt all that bad anyway, so all of us old Oklahoma people know that, see. Anyway, God gives you dominion. Exercise it. You're somebody. You're a child of the King. You're a child of God. You're not just somebody, well, it just happened, and maybe that was just an accident, I'm even here. No, your soul was created by God, and you are somebody. I don't care what your set of circumstances are. You need to exercise more that God has freely given you to exercise. It's yours. This world, all of it, was given to you. What have you done with it? All right, verse 29. Or what are you doing with it? That's what's important. There's no sin. Now let's just get right down where the rubber meets the road. Let's say I'm poor. There's no sin in being poor, but it's a sin to stay that way. Okay? You need to be useful to your to all of God's children. After all, that makes a family, does it not? Verse 29, and God said, behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat. It's all yours. Verse 30, and to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat. And it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. And when you take all those things that were created, and you utilize them in the natural way that God intended you to, and it doesn't take much experimenting to know whether or not it was intended for that purpose. You'd be surprised how many letters I get from that one verse. Every herb. But marijuana is an herb, isn't it? Look what it does for me. My brain is cooked a little bit, but God gave it. Now, he didn't give it to you for that. It's just like he made the scavenger to keep disease away from man, but he told you not to eat the scavenger. So it takes a little wisdom to go along with it, you know. And where does the wisdom come from? His word. He didn't leave you wanting to know how to surmount, to overcome the shortfalls of this earth when you use common sense. Okay, having said that then, let's summarize just briefly. In the beginning was the Word. God's Word is powerful. Don't you ever forget it. It's a mighty, mighty force. God's Word is. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That's how powerful it is. Why? Because he backs his word up. He just doesn't give a sentence here or one there. He proves himself when you prove yourself. He comes through. How about you? Okay? So, now we go here with... we go here to Matthew chapter 11. Let's go there. Go see what the living word has to say. Matthew chapter 11. Remembering that our Father loves us and he made all things so wonderful, though there are small temptations, there are small trials, but we can handle that. Now it so happens that people would come along then as the Word walked among us, and even before that, as houses were established where people could study and learn that Word, that naturally Satan or other peoples begin to try to take over. And in the 25th verse, we see some of that happening. In the 25th verse of the 11th chapter, our Father's house is very important, beloved. He created it for you as well, where he could communicate with you. But you know what was happening when this event took place. At that time, Jesus answered and said, this is Matthew 11:25, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and has revealed them unto babes, little children. Why? You're all his little children. You all are. What does it mean? What does a child that loves and respects you, when they ask you a question, do they think you're going to throw them a curve when you're serious? No. They're going to believe what you say. Because you're their parent, and their parent is somebody. And that's why God likes you, when he speaks, to listen with the same attention, to believe and strengthen your faith in what he says. Therefore, that's the reason God, through the mouth of babes, brings forth truth. Verse 26, even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. God likes to do it that way. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever, that's you, whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Reveal his plan, his purpose, his love. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I don't know, is it piling up on you? Do you ever take it to him? He will give you rest from it, but first you have to take it. You know what a yoke is used for? Picture an old oxen pulling a heavy plow, and there's hundreds of pounds of pressure there. And without that yoke, that leash would cut. I mean, and it would cut your life to pieces if you don't put Christ the yoke around your neck to bear that burden. It'll just rip you apart when you face it without that yoke. And that yoke simply is to have Him in you. His presence, He looking over you, for you're a babe, and God takes care of babes. Okay. Verse 29, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Do what? Learn of me. I am meek and lowly in heart. I'm not going to play big daddy on you. And ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. He will never place a burden upon you himself by weighting your shoulders with his yoke. You see, it does quite the contrary. It takes the load off of you. Now, many people make a bad mistake, though. And I'm here at the yoke. This is kind of a little side trip, be that as it may. Maybe somebody needs it. Many times they'll place that yoke on and say, all right, I'm ready. And they pray about an object and turn it over to the Father, and then they'll walk an hour or two in work or something else, and bam, they take the thing right out of God's hands and take it back to themselves and start worrying about it again. And He's going to dump the whole thing on you because you made void His promise. He said, I'll take care of it. This is after you've done everything you can and you turn it over to Him. You keep your hands off of it. His yoke will handle it. He can change minds. You can't in many cases. Just throwing that in kind of on the side there. He is our Father. He was the Father of the Son. Not everyone knows. And yet out of the mouths of babes, God intercedes. God takes care. Do you know the point that God wanted you to see from this statement, out of the mouth of babes? It was David, of who he was the offspring. Picture this. All of Israel, I mean a gallant army, is on this place, hill, armed, trained, ready to go. And on this hill are the Philistines. And they got one big bruiser out there, Goliath, and he's just chomping at the bit and walking back and forth and chanting at them, send out your champion! And finally, the little David goes out there. But what's important is not what so much necessarily what David did. It's what he said. Because it was out of the mouth of that babe who even yet through those loins would come Mary, who was the mother of Christ. What did he say? Samuel. 1 Samuel. Turn there with me, if you will. 1 Samuel, go to chapter 17. I mean, we're in a heap of hurt here. We're just stranded. And if we made it kind of catch it, David finally, you know, David's been a little old kid that was out in the boonies and taking care of the sheep. And he looked over at that giant and he thought, shoo, Lord's been with me. There was a lion and there was a bear. I didn't have anybody to help me. 1 Samuel chapter 17. I want to read verse 37 and then we're going to get down to the nitty-gritty of what he actually said. 1 Samuel 17. David said, moreover, he's talking to Saul, the king here, the Lord that delivered me, now listen to his words. Who delivered him? It wasn't Saul. The Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said unto David, go, and the Lord be with thee. In other words, David was ready. He killed that lion practically barehanded. Did he or did God? That's what you want to keep straight, all right? Now, let's go on to verse 42. He marches across. He picks up five smooth stones, as you know. He doesn't have any armor on. He's just a kid, a babe in the Hebrew by age. And he walks across that draw, picking up those smooth stones, putting them in his little pouch. He loads one. And when the Philistine, and he rushes across that brook then on toward the Philistine, and when the Philistine sees him, verse 42, and when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, hated him, for he was but a youth, and ruddy, and of a fair countenance. In other words, he was a mighty champion, and it was an insult for them to send out a kid to think he could take care of the champion of the Philistines. Biggest insult that could have been handed him. 43, and the Philistine said unto David, am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? Got a sticks here? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. That'd be Dagon and Baal, no doubt. Yeah, just, I mean, cursed him out good. Wonder how many, when that lion roared at him and boom, boom, as he's walking along, would have headed for back for home. You know, not David. David had taken on a lion. Come through in good shape. Why? David knew God would handle it. Verse 44, and the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. Now here's what David said, and this is out of the mouth of a babe. Listen to it. Anytime your life bogs down and you're in a rut too deep you think you can crawl out of the mouths of this babe comes your deliverance. Listen to it. Then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. Who's he coming in the name of and the word? God. 46. This day. Now here's faith. Grab onto it. Hang on to it if you need a little extra faith. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee. And I will give the carcass of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beast of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. That's why Jesus would say out of the mouths of babes. That's your real weapon, my friend, for you are a babe to the Father. You're his child. He wants to help you anytime you need that help when you turn to him after you have conquered as best you can. You want to remember that. We must subdue. But when it comes to the point you can't subdue anymore, then you got help. All you have to do is ask for it and have the faith to believe it. Out of the mouths of babes, there comes the real purpose of all success. That is to say, success that's going to have any lasting content to it is with the Father. Verse 47, and all this assembly shall know, this is the purpose, shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. So listen and learn from the mouth of the babe. There are no giants in this world as far as we're concerned. In a sense, this little old ministry in Gravett, Arkansas is living proof of that. You don't know how many giants there are that would try to turn expensive television time and so forth in other directions when you first start. But God, for those that have the faith, when you wade in, plows the way and clears the giants out of the way, out of your path. So we can thank him for that. Who? Our Father. He's that unseen hand that is your might. When you have the faith to take that upon yourself, to know you're a can-do type person. Why? Your Father is God. Your Father is Yahweh. Why shouldn't you overcome? I mean, He does own the world, doesn't He? And you're His child. He is our Father. Of course. You don't take a back seat to anyone. And I'm not trying to tell you to be a goody-goody two-shoes fuddy-duddy. God is very natural like we are, okay? And so you be natural, though He is supernatural, I must hasten to say. Why, He's our Father. He has that power, but He lets you utilize it when you decide, I'm going to conquer. I'm going to do this His way. For out of the mouths of babes, you know, let God lead be your light and step out there. Out of the mouths of babes. You know, babes come from fathers and mothers, parents. Well, you're a babe to the Almighty God, made in His image, His likeness. You look exactly as you looked as you stood there when He said, let us make them look like we look. When, that's why Jesus Himself would be called Emmanuel, God with us. For if you have seen the Son, you've seen the Father. God wouldn't ask you to do something He wouldn't do Himself. Only He did it better. He even died on the cross for our shortcomings. So out of the mouths of babes, that can strengthen your faith, beloved. And you want to listen, because many times in your lifetime, God's going to speak through a child just to document to you, I'm still here, and I meant what I said. You're my child. Do it my way, and I'll forge ahead. You don't. We have never lost a battle. Why? God leads us. But it's what's in the minds of men that conquer. God is able to change minds. So, never forget those words. So, David, as he came along, 48, is that where we got? Yeah. And it came to pass, when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. Bear in mind, this kid's out there by himself. He doesn't have an army behind him that's visible. But there's an invisible army right above his head. God is with him. Verse 49, and David put his hand in his bag, and he took thence a stone and slung it and smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell upon his face to the earth. He was dead. But God wants you, through the words of Christ His Son, Emmanuel, God with us, to remember what that babe said. When all of Israel was treated, one child spoke those words as he was on the run to defeat the giant. You can take pride in that sense, that being a child of God, you can do things. You can subdue this world. You can conquer it. By that I mean to your way. And understand what I mean by this. It is yours to use to sustain yourself and your family. Do it. Don't let it subdue you. Oh, it will. Though, this is why Jesus said, I'm not of this world, meaning the world ways, the ways of the world. They'll do you in a hurry if you let them. But out of the mouths of this babe, they're not smart enough to do you. You've got to be wiser than the serpent to beat him at his own game. And boy, that's fun. That is really fun. I enjoy it every day. Yes. Really nice. So, I'm not saying any of us are perfect, especially myself. I want to make that very clear. But that's still the word that conquers. Don't forget it. Without it, you will be forsaken. Without believing and having the faith to know, hey, They just think they're tough out there. Wait till they see me. And again, I don't want you to be a smart aleck now. It's just, this is the frame of mind you should have. You're a child of God. And there are many heathen in this world, and that simply means unbelievers. Don't you think God is partial to you? Though He doesn't play partial among people that do believe, He will over those that do and those that don't. But what you never want to forget is that those that don't believe are His children, and that's probably why you're here, is to plant a few seeds along to see that they have the privileges and the rights that you do. So, knowing then that our Father, through the Son, spoke that out of the mouth of babes. Go with me real quickly to Psalms. This kind of is, you really should have done Psalms chapter 8 first, but be that as it may, you're such good students that I don't have to worry about mixing you up or keeping it in chronological order, but it's good enough we don't want to pass over it. Psalms chapter 8, and this would lead you from the sayings of Christ all the way back to 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 42. Psalms chapter 8, verse 1. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is Thy name in all the earth. Who hath set Thy glory above the heavens? He's there, my friends. Verse 2, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast Thou ordained. Ordained what? Strength, because of Thine enemies, that Thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. Don't forget that. How well can you remember? I want you to remember that verse. What was the purpose of the verse? Because, I want you to say the, not say it with me, but in your own mind, because of Thine enemies, that Thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger, that you may have the victory. You've got to remember that. Verse 3. When I consider Thy heavens, the work of Thy fingers, the moon and the stars which Thou hast ordained, what is man that Thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that Thou visitest him? In other words, we know that God does visit. Why, how could you possibly, Father, when I look at the awesomeness at night of the stars and the heavens, and you care about me? He does, because you are His child. That's why. That's the whole point. Let me ask you something. You could build a wonderful empire. I mean, you could have everything. Then picture and it's really having problems and needs attention, but one of your children is in trouble and needs your attention. Who are you going to pay attention to? Well, God's the same way. He's going to take care of His children, of course. Verse 5, for Thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, that's to say human, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him, Adam, to have dominion over the works of Thy hand. Thou hast put all things under his feet, if he'll take care of it. You know, there's a little condition with that. We read it, didn't we? 7, all sheep and oxen, yea, and the beast of the field, the fowls of the air, the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the seas, O Lord, our Lord. Not somebody else's, our Lord. How excellent is Thy name in all the earth. So there it is for you. Why? To conquer your enemies. You got any? You bet you do. They may only be somebody that's trying to shortchange you, whether it be in character or something else. They're your enemy in that sense. Am I saying hate them? No. Conquer them. Have the victory over them. Show them what a Christian, show them what a man, woman, or a child of God looks like and acts like. Conquerors. Can-do type people. Overcomers, because He gives us that promise. Not to be smart, but because we can and will, and it is our right, and He has given us that right to show others how to find that same conquership over their enemies, because ultimately the enemy is Satan himself. He's going to be destroyed. So if God fights Satan, shouldn't his children, if they're really his children, or are they going to take Satan's side? So that's why this is so important. It is to conquer those that would stand in your way, whether innocently and or otherwise. In other words, I hope you understand what I'm saying. I hope I'm communicating this properly. The Word gives you the wisdom to be able to handle things whereby even the enemy thinks you've done him a great favor when you finish with him. Is that neat? That's cool, huh? That's what the kids would say today. That's cool. You know. So, you bet it is. So, God gives wisdom to those that will ask for it. And as Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7 would stipulate, the beginning of knowledge, I said the beginning of knowledge, where you start is to love God. Because if you love God, you can't help getting into His Word, which was before. It's the plan, it's the way, it's the purpose. And if you're going along with the plan, you're going to do pretty good. Now, let's go back to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 21. Our Father has blessed us in so many ways that certainly we could never fully thank Him for what He has done for us. Now here's where one of His houses, this is why you nip things in the bud in your family and everywhere else. When you see trouble coming, beloved, don't let it fester up and burst. Nip it when it's just a little thing, all right? Jesus did this in His house. Verse 12 of Matthew 21, and Jesus went into the temple of God, and He cast out them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves. 13, and He said unto them, it is written. Where? In the Word, of course. It is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. And if you're not careful, what should be taught in God's house? You can tell me, it's God's Word. I mean, if it's called God's house, what word are you going to teach there? Traditions of men? I hope not. A babe is more intelligent than that. It should be the Word of God taught. Verse 14, and the blind and the lame came to Him in the temple, and He healed them. And there are so many spiritually blind and spiritually lame today because of the crippling disease of false teaching, of teaching traditions of men rather than what saith the Lord. That's why Jesus would say, it's written, haven't you read it? You should know. That's why it's precious. Out of the mouths of babes. 15. And when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that He did, now get this, it was wonderful, there was healings, they could see. And what did these priests, these are men of God supposedly, what did they do? Wonderful things that He did, and the children crying in the temple saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. They were sore displeased. Do you know what Hosanna means? It means save now. When somebody's singing to a man saying, save now, well, and the high priest is sitting there and they're not saying it to him, a little bit of jealousy is going to develop. You got it? Okay, verse 16. And they said unto Him, hearest thou what they say? Question. And Jesus said to them, yea, have you never read? There it is again. Have you ever read the Bible, friend? Have you never read? Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings thou hast perfected praise. 17, and He left them, and He went out of the city into Bethany, and He lodged there. Now, what was left off of that verse? I'm going to give you a little pop quiz here. Okay? I ask you, I said, please remember the because. It's important. When Jesus says that, it's because of what? Because that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger, yours. That's why. See, He left that off knowing if they're smart, they're going to do what? They're going to go back and read. And they're going to know why they should do this. And they'll know why I'm doing this. In other words, the answer wasn't given. The answer must be remembered from what was stated in Psalms chapter 8. The reason for the mouth, that come out of the mouth of that babe, was how to defeat your enemies and still the avenger. The old avenger is nobody but Satan. Hey, it just blows his cool when you do something intelligent. All right? However seldom that may be for us, but be that as it may, I hope it's all the time, beloved. How can I take this so lightly? Because I think it's fun defeating Satan. I really do. He kicks the living daylights out of us sometime, and I know how to take names and kick dragon. Now, I don't mind doing it, all right? So, anyway, have a good day. That's how you defeat your enemies, okay? Remember it. How precious our Father, that He would give you that knowledge and information. Then, do you understand what we've covered today? Do you know that He made this world for you? Now let's reason just a little bit together. Did He not say, I've created all of this and I turn it all over to you and I give you dominion, you go out and subdue it? Who did He make it for? No, nobody else. Us. He said, go do it. Get after it. Sick 'em. Okay. So, Father loves us pretty well then, doesn't He? He made this world for you. And when we take that to the next step, it's so those that fell in the first earth age have the privilege of being family again. And He's chosen you to plant those seeds, defeat the enemy, and give them the seedbed of learning that they can have salvation, that they can be somebody. Hey, He might have to whomp you pretty good every once in a while to say, oh Lord, I got sidetracked there a minute, but I'm back on. Let's go. Get in the harness. So God, if you're one of His elect, is going to use you because He knows you can do it. He knows you're special. Not special that you're uppity. I don't want you to ever get that idea. For He is meek and humble, and if you're His child, so are you when it comes to that sort of feeling or thing or thought. So, yep, He made the whole earth, and He gave it to you. So, I don't like to hear anybody say, well, I'm not getting my part. Well, hustle. Hustle. I guarantee you there's enough of it unclaimed that there'll be more than you can handle if you'll just get out there and hustle. Okay, let's go to Corinthians. How can we ensure this? I cover this 1 Corinthians chapter 10 quite often, but I feel it's appropriate for our Father's day, His day. Chapter 10 kind of tells of how our Father loved us. Well, I'll just read the first verse as you're turning to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Moreover, brethren, I would not have, not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea. Why? God led them. God opened the sea. God took care of them. Don't be ignorant of that. God always takes care of His own, if you have the faith. Now, what I wanted to do, verse 6, now these things were our examples to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Try not to fall short. But all these things happened as an example. The same as David defeating the lion, defeating the bear was an example to you what that child could do. David going out and taking a stone and slaughtering Goliath, the enemy and the avenger, brought him down out of the mouths of that babe, came the secret, the solution, the recipe to success. Now, let's pick this up in verse 11. All those things that happened, listen to this carefully. Now, all these things happened unto them for examples, and they are written for our, they're written for who? For our admonition, as a warning to us, a way, upon whom the end of the world are come. the generation of the fig tree. I'm sorry you're stuck with it, friend, but a lot of the prophets wanted to live in this generation. It's yours. What are you going to do with it? You've got all those examples of how to defeat the enemy. Don't forget them. And before you start letting that little old creature called doubt, it's a bad spirit, doubt is. It'll just slip into your mind, that, how do I know I can believe that? Well, you're in trouble, friend. Because doubt is Satan's best tool, and it defies every promise God made. When it's real easy to say, God, I want to prove you, I'm going to do it that way because I love you, and I'm going to see if you're behind me. He won't let you down. All right, if you're honest now. Okay, verse 12. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. In other words, now listen to me carefully, just a moment. If you're going to go out here and make a stand in your life and say, I'm going to make a little bit of a change here. I'm going to start subduing this earth to my betterment. You want to be real careful because you could be letting yourself in for a big bumpy ride. Why? Well, you may not pay close enough attention to the examples that were set forth to know how to do it. You can't just go off in the dark, or you're in darkness. That's what he wrote the letter for, is so you would know how to cut it. All right? So don't just oversimplify this. That's why it's written. Okay. Okay. So if you make a stand, be armed with truth. Okay, verse 13. There hath no temptation. In other words, this is down to your personal case. If you think you've got it bad, there hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. I mean, it happens to everybody. Your case may seem worse to you, but it happens to everybody necessarily. But God is faithful, and don't you ever forget it. He's your Father, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able. You can do it. He knows what you can stand. He knows how much correction you need. He knows how he can utilize you to whip somebody else into shape. But will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. I guess we could say, in a way, if you're having it rough, God really loves you, and He knows you're a can-do type person. And if you have the faith to know it, He'll sail you right on through it. And you will accomplish something very good for it that perhaps you're not even aware of. Because it sets an example of what a woman or a man of God can accomplish when they have faith in the words that came out of that mouth of that babe. Trust. God said, I'll see to it that you don't get in over your head and sink. I'm with you. When the Lord had finished his ministry here on earth, he made what I like to call really the Lord's Prayer. It's not Matthew chapter 5. Our Father, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. That's the way he told us to pray. But his prayer is really in John. We started in John. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. So we're going to finish in John. John chapter 17. These are Christ. It's his final prayer to the Father. And it is just full of meat for you in your life as you have trials. I'm telling you what, this will make you jump down, tighten up that old saddle girth, get back up on that horse, dig your heels in and say, boy, let's go. All right? I mean, this will fill your quiver with ammunition, spiritual and or otherwise. Verse 17, chapter 17, verse 1, and we close with, how far of this chapter will I go? I don't know. How far will you go? All of it sometime today, I hope. Chapter 17, verse 1, these words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven, and he said, Father, it's his day, beloved. Remember that. Our Father. Christ called him Father. He never called him God when he spoke to him. Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. And when that tomb opened, the victory was there, so was the glory too. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. Has he given it to you? Of course he has. Why? You were given to him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent, Emmanuel, God with us. He wasn't afraid to come here and tough this out the way you did. He came, and not only that, he was perfect, didn't sin, and died on the cross for the rest of us, born from above. For I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. Think about that statement. Before the world was. Sixth, I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou hast given them me, and they have kept thy word. See that you do, beloved. How do you keep the word? First, grow familiar with it. That's the only way you can. It's powerful. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. It's real. For I have given unto them the words, I repeat, the logos, the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I come out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. In other words, that's faith, knowing he was the true Son of God. I pray for them. I pray not for the world. Don't forget that, beloved. That's why if you ever want to pray for your enemy, it might encourage you to, because he's not praying for them. He will not pray for this world. But for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. They're yours, Father. They're your children. 10. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. How he loves you when you choose him. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father. Keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are, one family. That's why there is a closeness, a love, the love of God, our Father in common. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept. And none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. What scripture? Who is the son of perdition? There's only one, Ezekiel 28. Satan was promised he would perish. And in the Greek, perdition means perish. Never let some Bible thumper try to tell you this was Judas. I don't care if it's in the column of your Bible or where, it's not Judas. Right? You would be judging if you said Judas after repentance had not found the way. 13. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. Where did he speak them? He spake them while he was in this world, so that you would have them, so that you could subdue, so that you could conquer, so that you could know the way. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. You're not of this world in the world ways. You have no part in it. You feel obnoxious when you see some of the things that happen in this world today. There's a reason for it. You're not of it. You're a stranger passing through. You're God's child. And I'm speaking here of those he has chosen from what happened in that first earth age. And I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world. Why? They've got work to do here. But that thou shouldest keep them from the evil one, of course. That's why Christ gave us power over Satan. You don't have to be afraid of Satan. Not if you'll stand up and act like a man or a woman of God. they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Please don't ever forget that. A lot of people say, I wish I had more faith. Well, study. His word is truth, and his word will document itself. Try it. You put it. Use it as. Use the word as a balm in your life. By that I mean a healing balm. All right, a salve, if you may, on your life, whereby proving him that he always comes through. He cares. Why? You're his child. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. To look pretty? Just to be there and to fill space? I don't think so, or he sure wouldn't have sent me, okay? But anyway, be that as it may, to do his work so that he has a spokesman, a person that he can count on. That's why he sent you. Many people say, well, if I was elect, why would he send me if I already had overcome? Because you care about the other people. You do. You have compassion, and you do care. And you can take care of your own problems and still have enough left over to give a word of encouragement to someone else. Verse 20, let's skip on there. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. Through what? Through their word. Meaning the word they speak after they have studied my word. That's a precious gift, and it brings blessings from God that just pour over your life, beloved. Jesus prays for that. He prays for the people that are going to be touched by the seed that you plant. Don't you ever let me hear you say, I just don't believe I can make a difference. Well, I know you can. Because there was a little boy going out across the creek bed, and he picked up 5 stones, and he killed a giant, and he made a big difference. And he was just a little feller. He also killed a lion. Why? God helped him. He also will help you. Why? Because he wants you to conquer and subdue this world that he created for you. Our Father did this. Your Father did this. That it'd be a better place. So, if anybody starts trying to mess up your spot that God has finally let you settle down into, well, don't you let them wallow in there, okay? You dispatch them somewhere else. You take care of that part that God has given you, and you keep it that way. Why? Keep it what way? Well, like a child of God would. Why? Because you are his child, and he is our Father. Father, we thank you for your blessings. Father, we thank you for your truth. Father, every pain that is in this building, Father, handle it. Every illness, Father, we ask that you touch in your blessed holy hand. Lighten heavy hearts, Father. On this day, here we're asking you to do this when it's really your day. But we know it gives you pleasure, Father. Reach down, touch. We ask it in Yeshua, Jesus' precious name. Amen.
The book of James. James is a book that I know you'll enjoy because it is written, when you rightly divide it, to those that are scattered abroad. That's to say the 12 tribes, the 10 tribes scattered abroad, being very